So much. That was excellent. Kind of felt like I got a tour. Amen. Every now and then, God will give you a tour, won't He? He'll just kind of let you peek in on the other side a little bit, just give you a little glimpse of what it's going to be like. That's about all we could handle in these bodies, just a little glimpse. Where we're going, we need a new body. I'm glad we're going to get a new body. I'm at the place where I want one, whether I need it or not, but I'm going to get one. Amen. And you are too if you're saved. That's right. You're going to get a glorified body. And my, what a day that will be. We're going to heaven, brethren. Going to heaven. Wonderful. Yeah. I have a memorial for that. October the 26th, 1980. I made my reservation. I'm headed that way. Amen. I'm going to go to the grave a little bruised and battered. Beat up a little bit. This old world's beat up on me a little bit. But when I get to heaven, I will not be bruised and battered. I've heard some people say, well, when I get there, I'm going to be bruised and battered, not heaven. Now, you might go to your grave bruised and battered. And if you don't go to your grave and you go in the air, I'm going to tell you, the bruised and batters are going to, the battering's going to leave you before you get there. That's right. You're going to get a glorified body. My, what a wonderful, wonderful thought. We get to go to heaven. And it's all because of His amazing grace. Aren't you glad of that? Praise the Lord. I'll never forget that memorial. Never. And there's just some memorials we should never, ever forget. You know, sometimes I can be going along through life and I'm just proving a point here that I made earlier. Not that I think it needs to be proven. About how memorials build gratitude. You know, even as Christians, if we're not careful, we'll be going through life and we'll lose a little bit of our gratitude for what it means to be saved in the grace of God. And then God will just kind of take you back memory lane and allow you to see where you were when He found you. And I don't mean just where you were geographically either. Now, He'll take you there too, but He'll take you back to where you were mentally and spiritually. Where you were emotionally in your life. And He'll let you remember how He found you. And then He'll remind you of where He brought you from and where He's brought you to and where He's going to eventually take you to. And it'll just renew that spirit of gratitude in your heart, doesn't it? It just does. Because we know that none of that is of our doing. It's all by the grace of God. We chose Him, but only because He chose us first. And I'm grateful for that. Joshua chapter number 4, if you have your Bible and you would turn there. Joshua chapter number 4. I want to ask some questions about memorials. And I'm going to do it right out of this chapter here with the help of the Lord. While you're finding your place there, I want to give you what I think are Israel, which is the people of God nationally. Israel has memorials. They have five prominent, now they have more than five, but they have five prominent memorials as God's chosen people nationally. And I think that we as God's chosen people positionally, Christians, do and should have memorials. But I want to give you some of, because what Israel had as God's people nationally will equate in type to what we have to God's chosen people positionally as Christians. And brethren, as a Christian, I want to live the Christian life, don't you? I don't want to just be a Christian in name. I want to live the Christian life. And I was telling our Sunday school class this morning, that sounds easy, doesn't it? Like, I'm just going to be a Christian. Well, you know, getting saved is depending on God's grace and accepting the finished work of Christ by faith. Now, you don't get saved by things you do. But when you get saved, it will evidence itself by how you live. And I want to live the Christian life. I want to be a Christian. Now, to say that sounds like, well, just be it. Just do it. Well, it's not as easy as just saying it. You say, well, being a Christian is easy for me. Well, you must not be living it right. Being a Christian means being a Christian. It means in every situation. It means rendering good to those who render evil to you. That's being a Christian. Being a Christian is praying for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. That's being a Christian. You see, when I say being a Christian, I'm not talking about just putting on a shirt and tie. I'm talking about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and living like He lived. Loving what He loved. Hating what He hated. Now that's being a Christian. In the life of Israel, in their noted history, I want you to think about these five places, and these are certainly milestones. They're memorials in their existence in their nation. And we can relate to them by way of type. First of all, there's Egypt. Egypt is a very prominent memorial in the life. As a matter of fact, they keep getting taken back to that over and over in the book of Deuteronomy. It says, you know, just remember now. Just remember you were a bondman in Egypt. Don't forget now where God found you. In oppression. In slavery. In bondage. Under taskmasters. Don't forget now. Don't you ever forget where God found you. Was God's message to the Israelite. Number two, the Red Sea. By the way, they got out of Egypt under the Passover, which in itself is a whole nother memorial, the blood of the Passover lamb. Thank God for that. And I think you know what that equates to. Christ is our Passover. That's found in 1 Corinthians 5:7. Aren't you glad for our Passover lamb? And then there's the Red Sea. Why Egypt speaks of oppression and bondage and being delivered by the blood of the Passover lamb. When they got to the Red Sea, it means separation, leaving that old life behind. Sanctification. And it takes a work of God to sanctify you. You cannot, I cannot sanctify myself alone. Now there is a part of that. I have choices to make, but I must depend on the power of God. I must depend on the Holy Spirit of God. Just like the Israelites when they stood there before that Red Sea and Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. My, what a memorial that was in their lives. They never got away from it. I never want to get away from these things in my life spiritually as a Christian. How God has worked on me and what God has brought me from. Owe it all to His grace, brethren. Owe it all to His mercy. And then there was the wilderness wanderings. That's the third. Those wilderness wanderings. It teaches us that unbelief and disobedience has their consequences, doesn't it? And God tests our faith in those wildernesses. And God strengthens our faith. And God reminds us that He is our provider. He is our protector. He will guide us with the cloudy pillar and with the fire. The fiery pillar. And even in the times of wilderness wandering, God shows Himself faithful time and time again, doesn't He? We're going to look at this next one, Jordan. This was a big day for Israel. It's a big day in your life too. Perhaps you've passed over Jordan and you've already made it into Canaan's land. I hope you have, because that's the fifth. These five memorials were five staples in the history, the noted history of the nation of Israel. And there ought to be staples in, they ought to be staples in your life and mine as believers, right? What they represent. We've been removed, we've been delivered from bondage and oppression. We've been set free. under the blood of the Passover lamb, we've been delivered, brethren. Free. And then we've been separated. That whole old life has really drowned in the Red Sea so that we could be sanctified. And yes, we will see some challenges again, even when we make it to Canaan. But thank God, the power of God to sanctify is still working in your life and mine as a believer. And then there are those wilderness times. And I use the word plural, wildernesses, because we all pass through wildernesses even after we go through our first session of wilderness. Sometimes we have to revisit the wilderness to learn new lessons about obedience and discipline in our lives. Are you in Canaan's land? In Joshua chapter number 4, this is one of the most challenging to my heart sections in the book of Joshua. I love the book of Joshua. I don't preach from it enough. I read it far more than I preach it and teach it. It's challenging to me. Moses, the servant of God, has died. When the servants die, you lose a little something. I've lived long enough to see some of the servants die. You have too, some of you. You lose a little something when those good servants of God move off the scene. But I thank God Joshua was there to take up the baton. And Joshua was given the same promises. When you read, God told Joshua, he said, you know what? He said, as I was with Moses, my servant, I'm going to be with you. What a wonderful promise, amen. Young people, please hear me. The same God that was with the servants in the past will be with you if you will choose to serve him. He will use you in a mighty way. He will bless you. He will show himself strong to you if you will just allow him to. God told Joshua, he said, I make you a promise. He said, I will promise you that wherever the soles of your feet land, he said, I will be with you and I will give you victory. And so here they come. They're headed to the place where God called them to, Canaan's land, the place of victory, the place of overcomers, victors, conquerors, brethren. But in order to get there, they have this one final challenge on the west side of Jordan before they enter into Canaan's land. And it's this river called Jordan. When they get there, if you'll look in chapter 3 just for a moment, in verse number 15, as if it wasn't enough them knowing what lied ahead, the Bible says in chapter 3, verse 15, and as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. It was flooding, as it did in every harvest season. The river was flooding. There was probably a mad rush of water, and it was overflowing its banks. And here are the children of Israel. If you could imagine, I mean multitudes, hundreds of thousands of people got up to the brink of the water, and God had given instructions. I'm not going to go through it. And he told Joshua, I want you to get the priests, and I want them to bear the Ark of the Covenant, which was a picture of the residing presence of God to the people of God. And he said, I want you to put them out front, and I want the people to follow that presence right there, the presence of God. And they did, and they got up to the brink of the river. And now God had told Joshua, I want you to tell the priests to put their feet in the river. Now you can just imagine that there had to be in the minds of the people, what's going to happen? I mean, this place, I want you to imagine in your mind, if you could, and may God help you if you can't, God help us all to imagine this rapidly flowing river, I mean rushing river, flowing, over flooding, the scripture says, its banks. And now here they come to it, and God said, go ahead and step in. I mean, you know, they're thinking, well, you know, I step in this, I might get washed away. Oh, no, you're not. Take my word. Step in there. The Bible says when they put their feet in there, God began to part it. Isn't that something? Can I tell you that God will help you cross those uncrossable rivers to get to the place that He has designed just for you as a Christian? Sometimes we just need to learn what it is to believe His word, don't we? And so the scripture says that they did that, and God told Joshua, He said, now here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go, remember now, there's 12, count from 12 tribes of Israel. And He said, I want you to go to each tribe, and He said, go around. He said, I want you to pick one man out of each tribe. I want you to get 12 men. And He said, when they're going through this Jordan, as I part it on dry ground, He said, I want them to get a stone. And it was, I'm not talking about a stone. The Bible says they carried it on the shoulder. I want you to get a stone, and I want you to take this to the other side. What in the world did they get a stone for? Well, we'll see. Now, you can read all of this in chapter 3 and 4. I'm just, for sake of time, I'm not doing it. But I want you to do it. And so they got the stones as they went over, and they got 12 stones on the other side. Now, before, which is a very interesting, I'm not going to get into this, but I challenge you to do it. Before, God said, okay, now I want the waters to go back as the priests were the last ones out. He said, now I want the waters to go back and the river to continue to flow. He said, before I do this, He said, now I want you to go back in the midst of Jordan. And I want you to stack 12 stones in the riverbed. And I'm going to cover them up. You say, well, what would that, what in the world somebody want to do that for? Can I tell you something? And one day, the Lord willing, we'll look at this in a little more detail. God will do things in our lives that's just between me and God. There's just a private part to the Christian life. And that private part to my Christian life, that private part in your Christian life will determine a whole lot about what you're going to be publicly. And the all-seeing eye of God, now listen, Jesus, he just kept using this phrase, especially in Matthew 6, and my Father, which seeth in secret. My Father, which seeth in secret. See, God sees what you do in secret. God knows every prayer you prayed, every tear you've shed, every sacrifice you've made. Now listen to me. God sees that. Those are those stones that the waters are coming up, and the people, when they came, they didn't see those stones, but God saw it because God has an all-seeing eye. God sees what people don't see. And God sees parts of your life that I don't see. And God sees parts of my life that you don't see. And God knows and God understands what you're going through. I don't always know and understand what you're going through. And that's why I need to be very careful about the way that I approach you and treat you. And you need to be very careful about how you approach others and treat others. You do not know what they are going through. You do not know what's under the water. Now God knows, because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God knows. We don't always know. We think we do. We think we do. But God does. And so there's a great lesson in that. And many times that is just completely overlooked in this account of the scripture. Yes, God did tell them to get 12 stones and to take them to the other side into Gilgal where they were going to lodge. He did tell them. He had a purpose for those visible stones. He had a purpose for them. But He also, just as meticulously and just with the same form of effort, said, I want you to take 12 stones and I want you to put them in the midst of the river. You understand what God is doing here? There is a private part. Listen, many, many Christians, you, that we see, that we say, you know, that's a good man right there. That's a good lady right there. That's a good family right there. There's a lot going on in their private life that we don't see. And I don't mean that we should question, I mean that we should be thankful for. There's sacrifices that people make, there's prayers, there's tears, there's hardships. People face them, brethren. And God knows about them. God knows about them. And I'm glad that He does. Aren't you? I'm glad God knows me. Now sometimes that puts fear in my heart. and even shame. But the fear and shame do not eclipse the thanksgiving that I have in my heart that God is seeing and God is taking note and God understands and God is at work in my life. I am so grateful that God has not given up on me and that God is still working in my life. On the backside of my life, and God is still faithful. God is still working in my life. Aren't you thankful for that, brethren? Aren't you thankful for that? God's not a 10-year none. God's not a 25-anniversary and done. God is with you forever. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Aren't you glad for that? God's not a fair-weather friend now. He's not a fair-weather Savior. God is always with us. And that's what this teaches. Let me read it to you here. Look at verse number 8. Let's go to verse number 9. Chapter 4, verse number 9. The Bible says that Joshua, he told him in verse number 8, he said, I want you to get these 12 stones. And he said, Joshua set up 12 stones, watch this now, in the midst of Jordan. Not on the other side. This is totally 12 different stones. He set them up in the midst of the riverbed in Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Amen. You say, preacher, do you believe that? God said it. I believe it, brother. Now, God has a purpose for those stones, just like God has a purpose for what you're going through. I don't understand some of the things that you're going through. I don't even understand some of the things that I've gone through and am going through. But I will tell you this, I trust God with my life. God knows far better than I do what's best for me. Sometimes I think I know what's best for me, but I know God knows what's best for me. And I'm here to tell you today, by the grace of God, God knows what's best for you too. Now, He does. You say, I don't understand why God is doing this. Well, you just stick with God. God will make His purpose known. In due season, you shall reap if you faint not. So please don't grow weary in well-doing. Now, let me answer some questions about these memorials. I'm just going to answer them quickly. Now, 12 stones were there. They were covered up when the waters came back and nobody saw them. But 12 stones that they got out of the river, they took to the other side. Notice if you went in let me find it here. Verse number 7, he said, when the children in verse number 6, you'll see those stones, they're going to ask in the latter part of verse number 6, what mean ye by these stones? And he said, well, you know, you answered them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And he said, I want you to take these stones in verse number 12. Verse number 8. He said, I want you to take these stones, and I want you to take them over. Look at the latter part of verse number 8 of chapter 4 is where I'm at. And I want you to place them where they lodge and lay them down there. Now, they lodged in Gilgal. Now, there's just great lessons everywhere in this. So they cross over from Shittim. You can find this in chapter 3 and 4. They get into Shittim right on the brink, and they pass over from there. They camp there a few days, and then they passed over through Jordan. They picked up the 12 stones, one from each tribe. They go over, and they build them a little memorial there of stones in Gilgal. You know what Gilgal was used for? When you study the Bible, you'll find that the children of Israel kept coming back to this place. Oftentimes before they went to battle, oftentimes when there was major decisions to make, they were here. And guess what they saw every time they came back there? This big heap of stones that reminded them, yeah, we was in a pretty bad situation one time, and look what God did. That's why you need memorials in your life. You need memorials in your life so that you can look back and say, God was with me, and God is with me. Amen? God did it before, and God can do it again. Don't you ever forget the power of God in your life. Don't you ever forget what God has brought you through and where God has brought you to. And that's what is being taught here. Now, I want to answer some questions. Number one, I wrote down some questions. What should memorials remind us of? And I'm just going to give you some biblical answers right here. Look at verse number 7 of chapter 4. They should remind us of the power of God. He said, you answer them, look at verse 7 now, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. God done dried up that riverbed. You say, God could dry up a riverbed that's overflowing the banks, a riverbed that's a rushing river that is an endangerment to people. God can dry it up, not just stop it from, not just dam it up, one on each side, but dry it up. God can do that. God can do that and then some. Amen. God can do that and then some. You mean God can do this in my life? God can do what you're thinking and then some. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. God's able to do that. And so a memorial should remind us that the God that we serve is all-powerful and there is absolutely nothing that he cannot do. For all things are possible with God. Can the church say amen? Amen. And so on this Memorial Day, I pray that we would learn to have some memorials in our life that would be a reminder to us that our God can do all things. There is nothing impossible with God. And so it reminds us of his power. It reminds us of his presence because the Ark of the Covenant was there. Remember, it was there as they went across. God said, I will be there with you in these situations so that when you set a memorial, you set that memorial with this in mind. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. And I'm going to show you my power. And then the third thing that I noted here is his provision. God did it for them. They didn't have to dam it up. They didn't have to set those stones. Listen, God could have said, now do you take some stones and dam it up on this side, then dam it up on that side. God said, no, I'm going to take care of that. I just want you to get some stones to set as a memorial that I did a great work in your midst. How many of you, God's done a great work in your midst? Let me see your hand. God done a great work in your midst? God ever done a great work for you? Say, preacher, I just don't know if God's done a great work for me. Listen, I'm here to tell you, God wants to do a great work in your life. Now, he does. You say, well, you don't even know. Don't need to know you. I just need you to know. God wants to do great, mighty things in your life. So, number one, what should memorials remind us of? Right here, it's God saying, I want you to build a memorial that I am all-powerful, that my presence is with you, and that I will meet your need. I will provide. Number two, here's a question I said as I sit down. Who are they for? Now, who are these memorials for? Well, it's no doubt it's for the people that were needing to get across. Listen, this was a great transition time in the life of the children of Israel. You understand what's happening here. They're on one side. And God said, I want you to get to the other side. This is the land. This is what I promised you on the other side of this river. And I want you to get there. But now you're going to have to trust me to get there. Got to die. The Jordan River's got great significance. And I'm not going into it. But anyway, it just simply means you got to die to yourself. And to get to the other side, you've got to doubt of what you can do and have faith in what God is going to do through you and for you. And so the second question, I hope you'll write it down. The second question, who are these for? Number one is for the people experiencing it. These people never forgot this. As a matter of fact, if you look at the very end of verse number 7, this is how long God wants me to remember the memorials that he has set in my life. Don't miss it now. And it says, these stones, you see that in verse number 7, the last part of chapter 4, verse 7? And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel. How long? Forever. God said, don't you ever forget. Don't you ever forget what I have done and can do in your life. God, help me never to forget. God, help me never to forget who my God is, who my Savior is. He's the Almighty God of heaven. And so he said, don't you ever forget now. And so therefore the people that's experienced it. Now number two, he said this. Look if you would over in chapter number 4. Notice if you would in verse number 21. And he spake unto the children of Israel saying, when your children, are you there? Chapter 4 verse 21. He said, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come saying, what meaneth these stones? They're for the children. They're for that generation behind us, the children and the grandchildren. Those that may not remember a whole lot about the occasion. But when they see those stones, they're going to say, you know what? I remember something about it. You know, you ever been to a place when you was a child and then you go back later in your life and say, you know what? I remember vaguely some things about this place or this occasion. And here's what God is telling them. He's telling them, when your children get up to the age and it's going to build up some inquisitiveness in them, and children love to ask questions. How many of you have children? Say amen right there. They love to ask questions, and they begin to ask you questions, and they say, Now what do these stones mean? He said, they're for them. You tell them what those stones are there for. Don't you allow the children to have their questions unanswered. Parents, please hear me now. Please hear me, parents. If you have to study overtime, if you have to stay up late to get the answers that your children are looking for, if you have to call somebody and ask them, hey, listen, I've got my son or my daughter asking a question, I want to give them the right Bible answer, what do I need to do? You do what it takes to give your children the Bible answer that they're looking for. So that when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? You be able to tell them, this is what that means. And you give them the account of the almighty power of God that was active in your life, in your lifetime, and that same power is available to them. Amen? If you have to sit around a living area at night, a living room, and have a devotion and break open the Bible and say, let me tell you what God done in my life, son. And the same God that saved me will save you. The same God that delivered me will deliver you. The same God that answered my prayer will answer your prayer. Amen. The same God that is active in my family will be active in your family, son. That's how good our God is. So therefore, the people that experience them, therefore the children, and then look if you would in verse number 24 of chapter 4. In verse number 24 it says, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. It's for everybody. Yes, it's for those that were crossing over at the time. Yes, it's for their children and grandchildren and the future generations. But he said, I want everybody to know. Everybody that sees these memorials. Everybody that hears you say, I once was blind, but now I see. Everybody that hears you whistling at the cross where I first saw the light. Everyone that sees you with a New Testament in your pocket instead of a pack of cigarettes or rolled up joint or some pill or powder or drink in your hand. Everyone that asks you for a cause of the reason that you have hope in Christ, you be ready to give an answer to them. That all the world might know that the God that we serve is almighty. Memorials, brethren, they're needful. They're real. Who are they for? Well, the Bible just told us. The third thing, I only have two more, so stay with me. How shall they be taught? How are we going to teach the children these memorials? Well, I want you to notice, if you would, again in verse number 7 of chapter 4, then shall you answer them, and you begin to tell them the facts. You begin to tell them what God did. Don't hold out on your children now. Don't cut them short. Give them the account. Give them your testimony. Tell them what God's done in your life. Explain to them the grace of God. Break it down for them. Let them hear you pray. Amen. Boy, I tell you, as I get older, some of the most fondest memories I have. I was not raised in a Christian home. And I know that my sister that is here today, she can bear witness that there were times when my grandmother would come and stay with us, that I would hear her sitting over. She was deaf because she was beaten by my grandfather when she was young, and she was hit in the head multiple times, and it caused her to lose her hearing, and she was deaf and she couldn't hear, and she would sit over in a chair with a Bible in her lap, and she would have her head bowed and she'd be praying to God. What conviction, what power. The reason I stand before you today was because of that memorial. It's important, brethren. It's important that your children hear you praying. They see you weeping. They know that that you trust God. They hear your trials, and they see your tears, and they know your sorrow, but then they see your happiness and your joy. They see your servant's heart. They see you faithful even when things are going bad, when things are not going good. You don't quit. You don't give up. You don't even let up. You just keep serving God because he is good that way, and he's worthy of all of your praise and your service. Teach them. Teach them. How? How, preacher? With a Christian life. Teach them with a consistent life. Say, well, preacher, I'm not perfect. I'm not either. And though we cannot be perfect, we can be consistent. Amen? Be consistent. Have some consistency. Have some wherewithal. Stick to it. Don't let the devil win. Trust God. Set up some memorials in your home. And God will honor it, brethren. God will honor it. He will. Why should I do that, Pastor? Why should I do that? Well, I'll close with this. Notice, if you would, in verse number 24. There's so much in this chapter. I had to pick and choose. In verse number 24, chapter 4, it said that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. Watch this next phrase. That you might fear the Lord your God forever. That's why. When you begin to mark, to journal, to set up memorials, when you begin to build some memorials in your life, in your home, in our church, it causes us to have great reverence. That word fear there is reverence. It causes us to look back and see the faithfulness of Almighty God. So that when we stand and we sing, all my life, He has been faithful. And all my life, He has been so, so good. You can sing it with conviction. It's not just words on a page. It's experiences with the Almighty. And your mind takes you back to the places where God showed up. God came on the scene. And you knew this is God here. This is not some feeling. This is not some aberration. This is not some vision that is not real. This is the Almighty God of heaven on my behalf showing Himself strong to me. And how I bless Him for it. That all, listen, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Reverence. Reverence. You know what reverent people do? Reverent people. You say, preacher, I want to be thankful. But I just find myself kind of slipping. I just kind of slip back into that mode of unthankfulness. Reverent people are thankful people. When you begin to reverence God, you cannot reverence Him without thanking Him. And so memorials. I wonder if you have any. Are you teaching your children, your grandchildren? Certainly we should teach them our national. I'm not opposed to that. Through history book, through visits to places, there's not a thing wrong with that. This is a day that we should be reminded tomorrow is Memorial Day. And we should be grateful for those who made the ultimate sacrifice, right? Absolutely. But what about spiritual memorials? Are you building spiritual memorials in the life of your family? I hope that you are. If you're not, would you? Could you right now as you sit there, look right up here at me, folks. What are your spiritual memorials? What are they in your home? You say, well, I don't know that we have many. Well, I'm not trying to shame you. Right now, would you say, I'm going to erect some spiritual memorials in my home. I'm going to erect some. I'm going to start now. And I'm going to pass on what God has done in my life to my children. Now listen, faith is contagious, but it's not transferable. I'm going to say that again. Now you please listen to me. Faith is contagious, but it's not transferable. When our children see our faith, it builds a desire in their heart. But we can't transfer our faith to them. It's something that they have to have experiences with God themselves. And when they see our commitment, when they see our memorials, when they see our walk, our prayer, our commitment, our consistency, we become just noncommittal, inconsistent, flippant about our faith, and God have mercy on us. Look what it has produced in our country. God help us to build some memorials. Let's stand to our feet. What kind of memorials do you have in your home? And I have to ask myself the same question. As the pastor of this church, I've tried to build some memorials. Some of you may remember some time ago, Pastor David actually brought this to my remembrance. I need things brought to my remembrance these days. Some time ago, we all went to Eagle Eyrie. Remember that? And we sit down as a group of leaders in the church. It was probably, I don't know, 30 of us. And we began to propose some things that we felt like God wanted us to do here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Over the next 3, 5, 10 years. And we set some memorials of things that we would like to see God do. And you know what God did? Are you listening? Every one of them. And those that he has not already completed, they're in the works. Because God is faithful that way. And I say that, now it's time to set some more. It is. And it's time for you to set some in your home. What do you want your home to be? What do you want your children to be? I pray that you would give this some due consideration. It's very, very important. Bow your head with me, please. As a